The Holy Gospel comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else would do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. What's your story? That's the theme. If you've, like me, attempted to try reading the Bible in 90 days, you get the whole story, God's story, our story. And I've learned some things. You should be in Numbers or getting ready to go into Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all I know. I only know the five. And then I can't do all the Old Testament. I can't do the New Testament either, but there's 66. I know that part. But if you read the story, it's our story. So I want to share that story briefly because that story matters. You have Genesis. That's the start. And you have Adam, this dust creature that God creates, and Eve, who's the bearer of life. That's what their words, their names mean, Adam and Eve. And they're just minding their own business, doing their human thing. And at some point, they're aware that they're naked. That's in the Bible. I'm just saying. If you haven't read Genesis in a while, that's in the Bible. They realized they were naked. And that's always bugged me because I always thought, you know, growing up, it was very good that we were created. And at some point, we're aware that we're naked and they felt ashamed, guilty, sin, you know. And however you look at that, whatever that means for you, there was some point where that happened. And I always struggled with that. And, you know, especially growing up, because it's like, I love Jesus and that song I sang from the time I can remember from third grade when I started going to church to Camino Chapel. And I love to tell the story and hear the story, but, you know, and I didn't know how this sin thing happened until we had a child. Then because our children are very good. All children are very good. Mountain View children, you go over, very good children. But there is a point. There is a point. It may not be when they're one, but it's probably when they're in those terrible twos. There is a point where a child is aware. And we as parents are very aware that they might do something that they know they shouldn't be doing. Taking a bite of something. You know, that's the metaphor in the Bible. But there is a point where you know. So I've learned through our children about sin, which is kind of weird in some ways. But we're children of God. And I've learned through our children that there is a point where this thing happens. This stuff happens. That's part of our story. So we have Genesis. Now you move forward. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There's this little chapter. I've been reading through the Bible I try and run. So I listen on tape as I'm running. And let me just tell you, if you're listening to a genealogy when you're running, it's very, it's like, that's the most boring thing possible. It's like, and the son of what? And it's all scripture is inspired by God. I understand that. But that part is, when you're running, is not the most inspirational run by. But then when there's exciting things happening, like the creation, that's very inspiring. And when Moses is doing a bunch of things in the wilderness, which that's what we're talking about in Numbers, that's exciting. So Moses talks to God. And that's how it was in the beginning, in Genesis. Because in Genesis, God comes and asks what's going on. And that's when that conversation happens and they realize their shame and they, you know, make the clothes that they make and humanity goes forward and tries to be human. And so at that time, God talks directly to us. And here in Numbers, it says Moses talks directly to God. And in Numbers, it says, forgive us according to your steadfast love. That's what Moses says about God. Forgive us, God. Because if you haven't read the story lately, during Moses' time in Israel, when they get transported out of Egypt and travel around, they're a grumbly people. You know, that speed limit shouldn't be that. You know, why did that person walk across the street when I'm trying to get to the store? They're grumpy people. And so there's a lot of back and forth, and Moses has to intervene several times and say, please don't destroy us, you know, because you took us out of Egypt and just wouldn't look good. So Moses is talking directly to God. And Moses is a prophet. And that's where, in Numbers, this is the first time you hear about a prophet. Moses is a prophet. And for my definition of what a prophet is, it's someone who has visions or hears God and speaks the truth of God and shares the vision of God. And so Moses shares the Ten Commandments and all the other 613 things that you're supposed to do as a Jewish person. And the people hear the truth. And do they follow it? We're humans. We do our best. And so the story keeps going and keeps going till we get to Micah. Now, Micah is one of the later books, and Micah is another prophet. And at this point in the history of our story, we've tried, we failed, we've tried, we failed. The people of God just are struggling to be in the earth. And so there's eventually some bottom lining. By bottom line, I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, don't give us 613 things that we're supposed to not do and a couple things we're supposed to do. Just tell us what we're supposed to do. And that's where Micah has his thing. What is good and what is required? The three things that he suggests. Do justice, kind loving, love in a kind way, and humility. Then we can walk with God and we can get back to how it was. So that's a bottom line right there. And that's just the prophet speaking truth and sharing the vision. Do justice, kind loving, and humility. Then we get to Paul. Paul tells us, also in the tradition, that God, the best of God, is awesome and experience this grace. And in fact, the worst of God is better than the best of who we are. And so this big story, Paul says, that started back in Genesis and comes till now and is embodied in who Jesus is as the child of God. This story is our story. That's what Paul reminds us in that text. Read that text over and over again this week. It's so great. It's so wonderful. Because it just reminds us that God's power is for us. We who are weak, we who stumble, we who make other people stumble, the wise are going to be little, the little are going to be wise. There's all these reversals and things. Because the bottom line is, grace is for us. All of us. Since the beginning of the human story, grace is for all of us. And then we get to the Beatitudes, where Jesus, he gives us a bottom line too. You know, he gives all of these wonderful, unexpected things that you wouldn't expect. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Does that mean the only way I get the kingdom of heaven is to be poor in spirit? That's not what it means. But if you are poor in spirit, God will give you the kingdom of heaven, if that's what you need. Because God is greater than anything we can imagine. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Sometimes we're never comforted. And so is that really true, Jesus? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Well, it is true, sometimes. You can't discount grief and pain and suffering, because we all experience it. That's part of being human. But Jesus said, God is bigger than that. And even with mourning, you will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The merciful, the pure in spirit, the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, like Micah talked about. All those folks, yeah, that we know. You do something good, you collect some soup and give it for people who need something to eat, you know that's a good thing. We're hungering. There's a prayer that I found, a wonderful Latin American prayer. This is how it goes. Lord, to those who hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice. If you don't have it, God will provide. And if you do have it, change your heart so that you can be generous like God is generous. Which brings us to now. We have this song that we're going to be singing today. It's the hymn of the day. And I don't think we've done it here before. But there's some wonderful words here. And the final refrain is, we see God here by our side, walking our way. We see God here by our side, walking our way. That gets back to the Genesis account. That's what Paul was about. That's what Jesus was about. That's what Micah proclaimed as a prophet. That's what Moses talked about. It gets all the way back to Genesis. God walked side by side with us. And now through Jesus, through God's grace, through God's love, which is more than anything that humans can imagine, we see God here by our side, walking our way. We see God here by our side, walking our way. Ray, our wonderful musician, has a... Who is the person? How is she related to you?
I'm sorry?
How is she related to you for the note? Her granddaughter is part of a group that raised $1,200 for their ear, nose, and throat group here on Lily Road. And they raised $1,200 to give away for a Head Start program. And they decided, we're going to give $400 to Mountain View. And why did they do that? Because a granddaughter knows, who also happens to be a Mountain View alumni, that we're doing some exciting things. We are trying to live out the vision, to do justice, to love kindness, to show humility. And we're trying to do it in a very real way with Mountain View. And so $400 that would have gone someplace else goes to Mountain View because of the difference that we make. We see God here by our side, walking our way. That's what it's about.